Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find 3 lines before the Gemara gets wide, or if you prefer, 20 lines from the top. Before we start the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading called the Nosei, Dine Kedima Baveda, rules regarding precedence in the return of a lost article. Shel Atzmo, one's own lost item. If one finds his own lost item and has to tend to it to return it to a secure location. Shel Rabo, his teacher's lost article. Teacher, we mean specifically a Torah teacher, and Shel Aviv, one's father's lost article. The Mivneh, structural note that follows, highlights a dashed underline, which you will see in the Mishnah, highlights Dugmois, Shel, Aviv, Mul Rabo, different examples where there are two lost articles that need to be tended to, one's father's versus one's rabbis. Eze mehen kodem, which one takes precedence? Now the Mishnah. Avedoso vavedas aviv, tending to your own lost item or and your father's lost item, which one takes precedence? Avedoso kodemus, your own takes precedence. Avedoso vavedas rabo, your lost item and your rabbi's lost item, Shelo Kodem, your own takes precedence. Avedus Oviv Vavedus Rabbi, if the choice is either tending to the return of your father's lost item or your rabbi's lost item, Shel Rabbi Kodemus, the rabbi's takes precedence, She Oviv Hevil Loilam Hazeh, the rabbi Shelimdi Chochma Mevio Lechayo Ilam Habo. One's father is responsible for his physical creation, for the son's physical being brought him into this world. The rabbi who taught him wisdom, Torah wisdom, enables him to merit a life in the world to come. And the life in the world to come is considered a greater achievement than simple physical existence in this world. Vim Oviv Chacham, Shel Oviv Kodemus, and if one's father is himself a Torah scholar, then the father's lost item takes precedence. Hoya Oviv V'Raboi Noisin Masui, if you have a father and a rabbi and they're both carrying a burden. Miniach Es Shel Raboi V'Achakach Miniach Es Shel Oviv, you're to help your rabbi lower, place down his burden, and then help your father. Hoya Oviv V'Rabo Bebeis HaShevi, if one's father and one's rabbi were in captivity, and it's a question here of redeeming the captive. Poides Rabo V'Achakach Poides Oviv, one would redeem his rabbi and then redeem his father. In other words, if they're limited funds, so the rabbi has precedence. Vim Oviv Chacham, if one's father is himself a Torah scholar, Poide es Oviv, V'achakach Poide es Rabo, then the father would take precedence. The Gemara asks, Mino Hani Mili, from where do we know the point made in the opening of the Mishnah that one's own item takes precedence? Even over one's rabbi's return of his lost item. Omer of Yudah Marav, the double underline that you see highlights two statements made by Rav Yehuda Merav, the second one you will see follows from the first statement. So Rav Yehuda Merav says, the Pasuk says, Omar Kra, Efes ki lo yeh b'cho evyoin. That's what appears in the Torah, and we explain, we learn from that, Shelcha kaidem l'shel kol adam. The Pasuk said, ki lo yeh b'cho, there shall not be in you evyon, poverty. So that tells us that yours takes precedent. And Rashi explains that the Torah's warning, be careful to avoid poverty, so that we have a command to see to it, each person has a command to see to it that he himself does not become impoverished. And this teaching has nothing to do with something of an egocentric nature, a selfish nature, quite the contrary. As long as a person maintains his own financial well-being, so he does not become a burden on the public. So the Torah expects each individual to worry about himself first with what we just explained in mind, and not to confuse this with selfishness. But notice, the Gemara follows immediately with the following: of the Omar of Yehuda Merav, call him a kayim ba'atzmo kach, sof bo lidei kach. Before we look in Rashi, the general gist of what Rav Yehuda is saying here is that if one is over diligent in what we said a moment ago, constantly concerning himself over himself to the extent that he becomes the only one of concern, then you see that leads to very bad things. And look at the Rashi. Kol ha-mekayim ba'atzmo kach, Rashi on the second narrow line, af alpi shelo hitilo olav ha-kosuv, even though the posuk doesn't expect the following, yesh l'odem likones l'fim yishuas hadin, a person should know how to navigate beyond the letter of the law. Below the dakdek, and not to be so, as we said, over diligent, sheli kodem, that mine always comes first. Im lo behefsid mochiach, unless you're dealing with a situation where if you don't take care of your own matter, you'll experience a significant loss, a noticeable loss. So if it's a matter of a small loss that you'd experience with the benefit of helping someone else, that is lifnei mishuras hadin, and that's praiseworthy. V'im tomid v'dakdek porek me'alav oil gemilas chasodim utstaka. If a person is, as we said before, always tomid, means always constantly medakdek, precise on regarding this matter, that mine always comes first, what happens then is a development of a warped personality, where you are porek me'olav, you cast off from upon you the oil, the yoke of gemilas chesed, of loving kindness and stock and charity. And then a person like that, who's always concerning himself primarily with his own well-being, the sof yishid starif librios, he'll end up coming to being dependent on others. It seems to a type of we'll say it's a spiritual involvement here, where if you are physically constantly preoccupied with your own needs and putting yourself ahead of everyone else, then min hashamayim, a person will find himself actually in the opposite situation, he will be dependent on others. So we have here a Gemara. It's a short piece of Gemara, but it's of central importance for one's own personality development. Yes, one is to concern himself with his own well-being and not become a burden on the masses, but not that's his only concern. And as we saw in Rashi, one should regularly attempt to go lefnei mishuras hadin. The Gemara continues, Hoya Oviv v'Rabbi Noisim Asui v'chulei Tonu Rabbonon. Rabbi Sheomru, the reference to the rabbi that we saw above. We mentioned the rabbi takes precedence over one's father in a couple of cases. The rabbo, his rabbi, that was spoken of. And as we go on in this source, you'll notice what we have on our on the side under our topic heading. Deus shonos, different opinions. Bahagdoras rabbo shemagdimim hafzoras aveidoso. The categorizing of what is meant by rabbo, to whom we give precedence when it comes to the returning of a lost item and the other halachas mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Braisa explains and presents three different opinions. Rabbo Shamru, Rabbo Shilimdoi Chochma. The Rabbo spoken of is the Rabbo who taught him Chochma. Now the word Chochma, Rashi immediately tells us it's a reference to what we call Gemara. Let's look at Rashi together in the upper part of the narrow line, Shilimdoi Chochma. What is that? Literally, Chochma means wisdom. Svoras Tame HaMishnah. The reason behind points mentioned in the Mishnah. When one learns Mishnayos, Mishnayos most often present, we'll say, facts, rulings, without explanation. The Gemara provides the Tarameh, the explanation behind the Mishnayos. Ulahavin, and provide the Gemara, the Chochmah spoken about here, which we will see shortly, is the Gemara provides the Havona, the understanding. Shiloyu sosra zu azu, the result being that Mishnayos will then not contradict one another. V'tame isu v'heter v'chiyu v'apoter, and the reasons behind rulings of prohibition and permission and allowance, guilt and innocence. V'hu nikra gemara. So what we've just described is what the Gemara essentially fulfills. Now, the first opinion then is that the rabbo who is given precedence is the rabbo, the teacher, the one who teaches you Gemara. And velo rabbo shalimdo mikro mishnah, divrei Rabbi Meir, as we continue in the Gemara, and not the one who teaches you mikro and mishnah. Mikro, Rashi says, is a reference to Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. We call it abbreviated, it's called Tanakh. Mishnah is a reference to the Mishnah, Mishnayos, as they are, without the explanations we gave above. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, we continue in this source, says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol sheroiv chochmosai heimenu. Anyone who's responsible for the majority of your knowledge in any one of the areas we just mentioned, if he's responsible for the majority of your knowledge in Mikra, in the scriptures, in the Mishnah, so be it, and certainly if in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi Omer, afilu lo heir einov ela b'mishnah acha zehu rabbi. Yosi says, anyone who enlightened you, who explained to you the reason behind even one Mishnah that you were not able to understand, he is called Rabbo in this context. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll see examples of Amoroyim, Rava, and Shmuel, who demonstrated this point, the point made by Rabbi Yosi. So, Omar Rava, Kagon Rav Schora, that's his name, Rav Schora. Rav Schora for me would be Rabbo, would be Rabbi, my rabbi. Why? The Asbaron, because he explained to me a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, and it's referred to in the Gemara by the term Zuamo Listeron. We're not going to get into the details of that Mishnah. Mishnah and Kelim deal with the description of different vessels, and in this case, he explained the this particular vessel, which is a type of spoon or a ladle that's used for removing the filth that accumulates at the surface of pots where food is being cooked up. So Rava says that for me, Rav Schora has the distinction of being Rabbi, because he explained to me that Mishnah, the Mishnah involving that particular utensil. Shmuel, Koramone Alei Ahu Mirabonon, upon the death of this particular individual, Shmuel rent his garments. We call Tor Kriya, an expression of mourning over someone who explained to him a Mishnah in Maseches Tomid. Rashi here actually elaborates quite a bit, giving you the explanation of the Mishnah. Well, we're not going to involve ourselves with that. We're mentioning that Rashi deals with, but the Mishnah says in Maseches Tomid, Echod Yoreid La'amo Le'amas HaShechi V'Echod Poiseach Kivon. The Mishnah there is dealing with the locks in the gates, opening into the gate, we'll say part of the gate arrangement opening up into the Azara of the base Hamikdash. And there's a reference to two access to two kinds of keys and locks that is mentioned here in this Mishnah. We're not giving much explanation. We're simply saying that the Mishnah deals with that topic of opening up the door, the gates leading into the Azara of the Beis Hamikdash. And Shmuel had great regard for the individual that explained to him that Mishnah in Maseches Tomid. Omar Ula, Talmidei Chachomim Shebebovel, Oimdim Ze, Mipnei Ze, Vekurin Ze, Al Ze. The Torah scholars in Bovel demonstrated the dignity and honor to one another. They would stand up in honor of one another. And as we explained, as we pointed out before, because each one would, in the course of time, explain to the other one things that they didn't understand. And the practice we just saw by Shmuel, who tore his garment upon the death of those that explained to them a Mishnah. And now the second part of Ula, even though in Bovel there was great regard one for one another, however, Uleinyan, Aveda, B'Mokim Aviv, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, which describes giving precedence to one's rabbi over one's father, Einon Chayzrin Ela L'Rabbi Muvhok, they wouldn't return to a rabbi ahead of a father unless he was your Rabbo Muvhok. Now, what's Rabbo Muvhok? Rashi says, Sheroiv Chochmosoi Mimenu K'Rabbi Yehuda. The majority of your knowledge is from that individual. By adding K'Rabbi Yehuda, we understand whether it be the majority of your knowledge in the scriptures, in the Tanakh, or in Mishnayos, or in Gemara. So that it would that Ula here, who is an Amora, is presenting to us in practical terms that regarding the din of Rabbi over Oviv, we're not following Rabbi Yossi. So that in terms of, we'll say, general acts of respect one for another, there Ula says in Bovel they practiced Rabbi Yossi's way, but as far as the topic in which Rabbi Yossi himself appeared, namely with regard to the returning of lost items, there they did not follow Rabbi Yossi, but rather Rabbi Yehuda, regarding precedence of rabbi over father. Then, as just to repeat, only if it's Rabbi Muvhok. Kaboy mine Rav Chista me Rav Huna. Rav Chista asked of Rav Huna the following: what would the din be concerning Talmud Vitzorich Loi Rabbi? A Talmud that has, we'll say, traditions and Torah knowledge that his rabbi requires. That his rabbi requires meaning that the rabbi is dependent on the student for certain traditions, oral traditions in Torah learning. What is the din in a case like that of that kind of student who, we'll say, knows that his rabbi is dependent on him? Would he give precedent to his rabbi over his father? Would he return his rabbi's lost item before returning his father's lost item? To repeat, Rav Chisda asked this question of Rav Huna. Omar Lay, Rav Huna, who was older than Rav Chisda, and Rav Huna, who, from the context of this Gemara, you will see, was one who benefited from Rav Chisda's insights and knowledge and what have you. Rav Huna took Rav Chisda's question in a personal sense, and was taken aback. He was offended, as if Rav Chisda, it's as if in Rav Huna's mind, as you'll see shortly in the Gemara, he took it as if Rav Chisda was saying, you know, you, Rav Huna, you need me. If I had to return if I had to choose to whom to return a lost item, my father or you, who would get precedence? So, Omar Lay, Rav Huna responds, Chisda, Chisda, Lo tzarichna loch at tzrichasli. I don't need you. You need me. Ad arboim shonim. Ikpidi hadodi v'lo aili legabi hadodi. The Gemara appears quite dramatic. For 40 years, there was strain between them, and one did not go to the other. Yosef Rav Chisda arboin tanisa mishum becholosh daite de Rav Huna. Rav Chisda observed 40 fasts because he had created a bad feeling on the part of Rav Huna. Cholosh daite literally means he weakened him. He embarrassed Rav Chisda. He created a sense of chagrin on the part of Rav Chisda. And for that, Rav Chisda took it upon himself to observe, as a means of penitence, 40 fasts. And Yosef Rav Huna arboyin tanisa mishum dechashte the Rav Chisda. Rav Huna also felt a need for penitence and observed 40 fasts because he suspected Rav Chisda. Now, Rav Chisda never came out and said to Rav Huna, you know, someone like me that you need. He asked a general question. What would the din be under circumstances that a student is needed by his rabbi? And Rav Huna interpreted it as if it was directed at him, and that's what the Gemara refers to when he says because of suspecting Rav Chisda. Itmar Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef Am Rav Yochanan Halacha Kerebi Yehuda. In terms of the rabbi that will gain precedence over one's father, is like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda explained the Roiv Chachmaso approach, whether it be in Mikra, Mishnah, or Gemara. Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav Sheshes Halacha Kerebi Yosi. That was certainly not like like Ula's approach with regard to the Chachomim in Bavel, but he says that with regard to precedence, we would follow Rabbi Yossi, anyone who enlightened you in even one Mishnah. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi. The question here goes back onto Rabbi Yochanan, who said we paskin like Rav Yehuda. Does Rav Yochanan really say thusly? The Omar Rav Yochanan, halacha kestam mishnah. The halacha follows the ruling of an unnamed mishnah. Utnan, in the Stam Mishnah, which is our Mishnah. We have a little arrow you can see is pointing to the first wide line above, and it said there, Rabbo Shelimdoi Chochma. And Chochma, we have to explain, is we have a Stam Mishnah. A Stam Mishnah is associated with Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir, we know his approach, that it's Limdoi Chochma, Chochma of Gemara. So how can Rabbi Yochanan tell us that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda when it seems that he follows the Stam Mishnah, which said Rabbo Shelimdo Chochma, and the assumption is that that's a reference to what Rabbi Meir rules? The Gemara responds, My Chochma, what does Chochma mean? It means Roiv Chochmasai. And as we explained before, it's the Mishnah itself is saying the majority of Chochmah, whether it's in Mikra, so be it, whether it's in Mishnah, so be it. So that there's no contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who rules like Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, our Mishnah alludes to that approach by saying Chochma meaning Roiv Chochmaso. And again, not limited to Roiv Chochmaso in Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. This section of Gemara deals with the, let's say, prime area that one should invest himself in with regard to Torah study. So the source says, Ha'eskin b'mikra, those who are preoccupied with the study of the scriptures, mida v'eino mida. It's, mida is a term referring to a measure or a characteristic. It's a partial mida, but it's not the best. Rashi says, v'eino mida, Shamishna uGemara yofim mimena. The study of Mishnah and Gemara is more appropriate, was better. But nei shetliyin begirsa v'shtachin. What motivates this source to say that one should make a greater investment in Mishnah and Gemara? It's because the knowledge in of those areas is dependent on fluency and girsa. And they're also easily forgotten. And now Rashi qualifies that. And here, we just have to have a little sense of history, and that the at the point in time that this Tanaic source was stated, is you're talking about what's called the Tanaic period in Jewish history. Shebimehem lohaya gemara b'tzav. In their days, the Gemara was not written out. Now Rashi is speaking on his own, in the sense that Rashi, who lived between the years of 1040 and 1107 of the Common Era, is reflecting back in history, back as far as from Rashi's time, we could say anywhere from 600-700 years back till 1,000+ years back from his time. And Rashi is telling us that in their times, Gemara was not written out. V'gam lohoyo nitan lichtov. And it was not even possible to write it out in those times, in the times of the Gemara. The Gemara was, in fact, what we call the oral tradition, the oral law. It was oral. So you'll ask, well, if it was to remain oral, how is it that it was written? How is it that it is written? Because people's abilities became more limited, and the ability to retain vast amounts of Torah knowledge in an accurate form, their abilities diminished. So, in order to preserve the Torah, it had to be written down. So as far as this source that's giving precedence to the study of Mishnah and Gemara over Mikra, it is as Rashi pointed out, because in those times Mikra and Mishnah and Gemara, if you didn't have great, if you didn't have fluency in them, they would be forgotten. We continue in the Tanaic source. B'mishnah, one who is oisek in Mishnah, midah, that's a respectable measure, that's a respectable thing to do. V'noitlin alel schar, and one receives reward for it. Gemara, ein lecha midah gedola mizu. When it comes to the study of Gemara, there's no greater study than that. There's no, literally, no greater measure than that. Le'olam have a rotz le'mishna yoser min ha'gemara. And one should always rush to the study of Mishnah more so than to the study of Gemara. Hagufa kashya, this source seems to be inherently contradictory. Amris, you said b'gemara ein l'chamida gedola mizu, that the study of Gemara is the greatest accomplishment, the greatest measure. V'hadar Amris, and then you tell me l'olam have a rutz l'mishnah yoyser min ha'gemara, rush to the study of Mishnah more than even the study of Gemara. How do we resolve these two points? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Yochanan explains, Bimei Rebbe Nishneis Mishnah Zu. In the days of Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, was the end of the Tanaic period, and it was in his days that the teaching emerged that Gemara Ein Lecha Mida Gedola Mizu, that the greatest area of study is Gemara. And what happened? Shavku Kule Alma Mesnisin V'Ozlu Boser Gemara. Everyone abandoned the study of Mishnayos. They reduced their study of Mishnayos. They literally, as we said, abandoned. They walked away from Mishnayos and they went and pursued Gemara. Rashi at the top line. Bimei Rebbe Nishis Mishnayos. Hadik Tani Gemara L'chamid Gedola Mizu. That point was something taught in the days of Rebbe. Because of government edicts and persecutions that Jews experienced, many disagreements as to what one is to do in Jewish law arose because of lack of clarity, and though that lack of clarity was a result of lack of diligence and study, which was a result of all the persecutions that they were subjected to. And as a result, they weren't able to learn with clarity and understand the different opinions until the days of Rebbe. In the days of Rebbe, the Almighty created a sense of grace in the eyes of Anthony, the Roman emperor at that time, and he had the kindly feelings toward Rebbe. And in his days, the pressure of persecutions was removed, and they finally achieved a sense of rest. And the Sholach Mekibes called to Meretz Yisrael, and Rebbe sent for a convergence of all the Torah scholars to come together. The Ad Yomav Lo Hoy Masechtas Duros, until Rebbe's days, the phenomenon of a series of masechtas, of set up of masechtas tractates, each one dealing with its own topics, was not a reality. And they called Talmud Shishama Dover Mipi Golem, and Ogorsov and Asa Simonim, Rather, what was happening? People who had learned from greater individuals would study what they would study what they heard, would memorize what they heard, and they would use mnemonics, and with that they would understand halacha ploni uplonis shamati mishem ploni ukshinskatsu. And when all these rabbis got together, Omar kol echad ma sheshama, each one would then reveal what he had learned, what he had heard. V'nosnu lev levar tamei machlekes divrei miriam lekayim v'sidra masechtes. In Rebbe's day, they then, after being all assembled, they would analyze what each one said, each one's tradition, which was fit to preserve, which one not. The Sidra Masechtes, and they set up the various tractates in the different orders of the Mishnayos, Divrei Nezikin Levadam, Divrei Yevamos Levadam, Divrei Kochim Levadam, Seder Nezikin, you can see alluded to here. Yevamos would include laws referring to women and marriage, Noshim, Divrei Kochim, sacrificial topics, and they were set up into separate tractates and separate orders of the Shas. There are numerous Mishnayos that the opinion is stated without a name. That shows us that Rebbe felt those to be authoritative. With all of this background in mind, you understand why they said specifically in Rebbe's time, when they were involved with setting up all the orders of Mishnayos with understanding and clarity, and hence the pursuit of Gemara, which is what we just described, the analysis of the Mishnayos was considered the greatest thing. Now, what happened as a result? So we saw in the Gemara, people became preoccupied with the analysis of Mishnayos, but the maintenance of the Mishnah text itself through memorized study, that became eroded. Well, when Rebbe saw that happening, that the basic Mishnah texts were being forgotten, Hadar Darash Lehu, we see on the Gemara, the second line from the top, then he issued the ruling, Le'olam u'le'olam heveirotz le'mishnah yoseh min ha'gemara, to try to, through that, motivate them to return to diligence in Mishnah study, so as not to confuse the Mishnayos with different authors, and not to confuse and reverse rulings where the Mishnah may have ruled Chayav, and you, because of your lack of diligence in the study of Mishnah, would say Potter. My Dorosh. At the beginning, when they taught that Gemara is the greatest Midah, what scriptural reference or hint is there to that? And here the Gemara then gives us a drosha. We have a topic heading which indicates that this is a continuation of what we had discussed earlier. What's the source for saying, for praising the Gemara as the greatest study? And structurally, we have a mivne, a structural note, where a house form appears, highlighting Rav Yudah Rebeloi. We have drushes on this, the balance of the parak, drushes given by Rav Yudah Rebeloi. So we asked, from where do we see a scriptural reference that the study of Gemara is the greatest characteristic, the greatest area of pursuit? Kedorosh Rav Yudah Rebeloi, as he explained, my dichtiv, and we're going to analyze a posuk, different sections of a posuk in Yeshaya Perek Nun Ches Posuk Aleph, and the posuk says, Hagei Lami Pisham Ulevez Yankiv Chatoisam. Hagei Liami Pisham. What is that a reference to? Eilu Tamidi Chachamim Sheshgogos Nasis Lahem Kizdonos. The Pasuk describes Talmidei Chachamim who inadvertently violated halacha, and their violation is considered as if it's an act of a wanton violation, premeditated violation, even though it was a shogeg. They weren't a Talmud Chacham, made a mistake in his ruling. It's considered as if it was done b'mezid, done deliberately. The Rashi on in Dibur Masel Li Ami Pisham, Ami, my nation, Hainu Tamir Chachomim, Es Chatosam Ani Korei Pesha. There, chait is sin without intentional intent to violate. I refer to as pesha, an act of rebellion. Shehoyo lohem lo seislei v'tami mishnosam shivaru lohem es alo ikr. They, the Talmud Chacham who made the mistake, should have paid closer attention and analyzed with greater clarity and reaching more definitive conclusions with regard to their learning. V'lo yoru halacha mitoch mishna sheina ikr, and not to rule halachas based on the mishnayos as they are. So talmidei chachamim who make mistakes, it's a function of their not having refined their study to the proper extent. So the pasuk describes that even their inadvertent sins are considered premeditated. The pasuk also said, "Leves yankiv chatosam elu amei haaretz shezdonos nases laem gishkogas." The pasuk describes the ignorant ones who, though they may have acted in a mazin fashion — mazin means in a fashion where one knows he's violating something — we nevertheless consider it as if he was shogeg, as if he was inadvertent. V'hainu disnan Rabbi Omer have a zoyer b'talmud shishigas talmud oyla zoda, and it's with this in mind that we have the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda that says a person should be very careful with his Talmud. Why? Because a mistake in Talmud is considered zodan, is considered a premeditated act of violation. And as we pointed out before, and let's take a look again at the Rashi, Shigigas Talmud, Im Shogisa Bahira B'Shigas Talmudcha, if you made a mistake in a ruling that you issued, Shaliyadata Tam HaMishnah, you didn't know the reason behind the Mishnah, V'nasata V'Tam Acher, and you provided a different reason, a wrong reason for the Mishnah, Mitoch Karta Misa Lo Din Ahira Shebal Yochan, because of your fundamental misunderstanding of the Mishnah, a matter of practical law came your way, and you compared the topic in question to that Mishnah that you had improperly explained. Ulamadate meno shalokidas, and you then derived from him something improper. Kishena tamkamoshi sasova, the reason isn't like you thought. Shiilu yodata tama Mishnah, had you known the real explanation behind the Mishnah, lo damisa lo maisa boliotha, you wouldn't have even compared the topic that came to you as a practical issue to that Mishnah. Since you were lax in your study of the Gemara, you ended up giving wrong reasons to the Mishnayos, which then led to wrong, incorrect legal rulings. Dorash Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. We should point out, by the way, that in the teaching of Rav Yehuda, but before we get to the next Drosh Rav Yehuda Rav Eloi, in the Tanaic source that you see in the frame, he said, Shigigas Talmud Oyle Zodon. Rashi explains Oyle Zodon, Onush Ato, although you're punished over it, Kemezin, as if you did it in a premeditated fashion. Shezodon hu biyodcha shelo sha'alta tami rabcha. It's your responsibility. It's the mazid is here, even though it's not in the classic premeditated sense of wanting to violate a law, but the mistake is viewed as if it were mazid because you didn't ask your rabbi how to explain the source. Now we turn back to our Gemara with a second drasha of Rabbi Yehuda bar Loy, Darsha Rabbi Yehuda bar Loy, my dichtiv. And here we have a posuk in Yeshaya, Perek Samavo, posuk Hey, which is broken down into its component parts for drushes. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Loy says, my dichtiv, what is it that the posuk says, Shimu Dvar Hashem Ha Charedim El Dvoro? The posuk is, the Novi is saying, hearken unto Hashem, those that are God-fearing. Elu Talmidei Chachamim. That's a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, those that studied a lot of Gemara. Rashi says, Elu Talmidei Chachamim, Shishimshu Chachamim Arbe, Lulabdom Tame Mishnosam Ze Bezu, Veze Bezu. These are people that studied from their rabbis the explanations behind the Mishnayos, to know the reasons behind each one. She'ein hakol b'kiyin b'shovin. Not everyone has equal expertise. Now we continue in the Gemara. Imru achechem. The underlinings that you see here highlight the different phrases from the pasuk itself. So imru achechem elu balei mikra. Those are the one. That's a reference to those that are knowledgeable in the scriptures. Seinechem elu balei mishnah. That's a reference to those who are conversant in Mishnayos. Menadechem elu ame oretz. Menadechem are those that spurn you, that have disdain toward you, the Talmidei Chachamim. Who are those? The ame oretz, the ignoramuses. So the pasuk covers all of the different segments of Klal Yisrael, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Balei Mikra, the Balei Mishnah, and why Balei Mishnah. In this pasuk we saw Soneichem Elu Balei Mishnah, the ones that hate you. Who hates the Talmidei Chachamim, the people that know Gemara, the Balei Mishnah? You might ask, what kind of description is that? That the Balei Mishnah hate the Balei Gemara. So what causes that relationship, that negative relationship, is that the Balei Gemara, those that are Talmud fluent, refer to those that are Balei Mishnah as Mevalei Olam, those that will say destroy the world, as is referred to in Maseches Sota. Why? Because the Balei Mishnah, they may end up issuing rulings from their Mishnayos as they are. And we explained already before extensively that Mishnayos need deeper explanations than the text as they are. So that strain that arose because the Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah, the Talmud experts viewed the Mishnayos, those fluent in Mishnayos, as being Mevalei Olam, destroyers of the world. So that brought on the antipathy that they, the Balei Mishnah, had toward the Talmidei Chachamim. Shema Toimar, you might say, Posak Sivram Ubotel Sikuyam, that all of these, the Ami Oretz and the others, don't have any future, they have no hope, nothing to look forward to by way of the, we'll call it the final geula, the final emergence of the honor of Hashem. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, V'nir'eh b'simchaschem. Nir'eh is, say, first person plural. As we will see in your joy, in the joy of the Talmidei Chachamim. It doesn't say in the pasuk, V'er'eh, that I will see, but rather we together will see and that includes the Achechem, the Seinechem, and the Menadechem in the Pasuk. They will all be together when the great day of revelation arrives. Shemo Toimar, Yisrael Yevoshu. You might say that the Jews, the Jewish people, will experience extreme embarrassment when that great day of awakening of revelation arrives. Talmud Lomar Vehem Yevoshu. In that pasuk, it speaks of those being embarrassed, but it's Haman to them. Idol worshippers that are around when the great day of light comes forward, though idol worshippers will experience great embarrassment, but Israel, Jews, will be part of the joy. As you can see, with the help of the one above, we've now completed the second parak of Bava Metziah, and we are, with the help of the one above, to embark now on the with the third parak, parak Hamafkin. This parak deals with the topic of entrusting items by someone else to watch. A shomer, literally a guard, or the term bailey is used. On the side, we have a nosei slash mivne heading. The double underline marking is seen in the Mishnah, and it highlights efshorios, different possibilities, ha'oindos b'fnei shomer chinam, shenignav mimenu pikadon, options that exist for an unpaid bailey, from whom the entrusted article was stolen. He can lishava, he can swear, swear that that is what happened, that it was stolen from him, that he didn't act in a reckless fashion, that he didn't use it for himself, and thereby be exempt from any financial obligation. He has another option. He can actually pay for it. He's not obligated by letter of the law to pay for it, but he can pay for it. Alas, well then, what benefit is there in his paying for it? Well, in the event that the thief who stole in a covert fashion, the ganav, is discovered, there's a payment known as kefel, double the value of the item, principal plus one. Kefel, double payment, is what the ganav has to pay. If the shomer opted to himself pay for the item before the thief was discovered, then we open up the possibility of the kefel payment being made to the shomer. It's as if the shomer acquired the rights to the double payment for his having initiated the payment of the principal value to the owner of that entrusted item. A diamond appears in the Mishnah to highlight the term lemi mishalim, the payment made by the thief when he is discovered, the double payment, and in the event of an animal stolen, a sheep or an ox that may have been stolen and then slaughtered, that involves multiple payments that we refer to by the term four or five. Four times the value, essentially that's principal plus three, or five times the value, that's principal plus four times in the value. Who would receive the payment from the thief when he is discovered? So zet tolui be'eze efsharut hashem boicher. That would depend on the choice that the bailey made before the discovery of the thief. Now the Mishnah. Hamafkid eitzel chavero behema o kelim, one who entrusted by his friend either an animal or vessels, v'nignavu o she'avdu, and they were stolen or lost. We mentioned in our introduction, we're talking, this Mishnah is focusing on a Shomer Chinam, an unpaid Bailey, who is not obligated automatically to compensate for theft or loss of entrusted item. Shilein v'lo rotza lishava. He opted, in fact, to pay for the item and not to swear. If we just skip the bracketed section for a moment, nimtza haganav mishalem tashlume kefel. When the thief is discovered, the thief has to pay double. Tovachu mochar mishalem tashlume arba v'chamisha. If the thief slaughtered or sold the sheep or ox that he stole, then a payment of four or five is made. Four times the value of the sheep, five times the value of the ox. L'mi mishalem. In the event that the shomer had paid and not sworn to gain exemption, who will the thief pay to? L'mi shapikod netzlo. The one by whom the entrusted article was entrusted, namely, by he will pay to the shomer. Now we skipped a couple words. Let's go back to the Mishnah at that point. The Mishnah said, "Shilein v'lo rotza lishava, sharei omru shomer chinam nishba v'yotze." It has been taught that the unpaid Bailey has the option of swearing and is thereby exempt in the case of theft or loss. We go back into our Mishnah to the next double underline, nishba v'lo rotza lishalein. If the shomer opted to swear, as we said, to swear that I was not reckless with it, I didn't use the item for my own purposes, and the reason it's not here is because it was lost, it was or stolen. If he opts to swear to that effect and doesn't want to pay, then nimtza haganav mishan shomei kevav mochav mishan shomei arba b'chamisha l'mi mishalem. When the thief is discovered and the double payment or four or five payment must be made, unto whom will the payment be made? Then l'baal hapikodon, to the owner of the item, not to the shomer. The shomer in this case didn't pay for it, he simply swore to gain exemption. So when the multiple payments are made by the thief who is eventually discovered, those are paid to the owner of the item. The Mishnah used two examples. And on the side of the Gemara, we have as our nosauer topic heading, Lama Shnei Dugmois B'Mishnah Behema V'Kelim. What's the purpose of having two examples in the Mishnah? Loma lay, we continue in the Gemara text, Loma lay lemisni behemov, Loma lay lemisni kelim. Answer, tzrichi, I need to have both examples. Notice we have a long answer marking. The itana, we have a squiggle on the itana here, and if you drop down a few more lines, again, the itana, to show you why each one needed to be taught. The itana behemov had the Mishnah taught its rules regarding animal. Have amina, I would have thought. Let me just repeat. Had it taught behema and not taught kalim, have amina, I would have thought. Behema hu demakni le fela. It's in the case of a behema that the original owner would grant the kefel rights to the collection of the double rights to the shomer. Mishum denofish tircha le'yula lafuka. Because that shomer had to trouble himself. He had to put himself out to bring the animal in, to take it out, to care for the animal. An animal is a creature that needs care, needs to be set free for grazing, gathered in the evening, all of that while you're a shomer, while you're a guard, a bailey over it. Aval kalim delo nofish tirchayu, but vessels inanimate vessels, the lo nofesh tuchah, there isn't much trouble that you have to go through for their care. Emo lo makni leg felo. I would have thought in that case the original owner is not going to part with the kefil, meaning even if the shomer should pay for the item, that's not going to entitle the shomer to get the double amount from the thief. Fe'i Tana, had the Mishnah taught kelim and not behemo, have amino, I would have thought kelim hu dekomakni leg fela, there the owner would entitle the shomer to gain the kefel, in the event, of course, that the shomer paid for it before the discovery of the thief. Mishom delo nafish kiflayo, because literally the kefel is not great, but it means that the concept of a multiple payment in the case of vessels never exceeds twice. In other words, upon discovery of theft, thief will pay principal plus one. Aval behema, but when it comes to an animal, the chi tavachu mocha mishan shumi dal behay. In the event that he slaughters it or sells it, the animal, the multiple payments reach as much as four and five times. That's a significant profit, if you will. Emo lo makni leg fela. If I hadn't taught that regarding behemo, I wouldn't have thought that the owner would part with the multiple payments associated with animal. Sricha. Therefore, I have to tell you the rules of the Mishnah and cite specifically behemo and kelim. Both need to be taught so as to dispel these hava aminas that the Gemara arose. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a topic heading on the side and a mivnes structural note. A triangle is featured, and we've written she'elois levarer, questions to explain, to clarify, shomer sheshilem, eichu zoiche bekefel, a shomer who paid, as we saw in the Mishnah, who opted the payment route. What is the legal mechanism that entitles him to the kefel? The Gemara. Note, by the way, that we open with a long question marking. Maskif lo Rami bar Chama. Rami bar Chama asks a very basic question on the Mishnah itself. How can the shomer gain the rights to the kefel? Feha ein odom makne davar shelo bali olam. We have a well-known rule that a person cannot transact that which hasn't come to being yet. How can the owner of the entrusted article transfer the kefil rights to the shomer? We'll elaborate on that as we go on in the Gemara. We made reference to something that hasn't come into being yet. The kefil, after all, is the double payment that the thief will have to make. But that hasn't come into being yet. V'afilu l'Rebbe Meir d'yomar odom makne davar shelo bal yolam, even according to Rebbe Meir, who holds that a person is allowed to transact something that hasn't come into being, hani mili kagon peros dekel davidi d'osu. That is true, but it's limited to phenomena like trees and their fruits. Peros, the fruit of trees, of dekel, literally a palm, that by, say, in the normal course of nature, they will come to be. They come every year. There's an annual season of fruit production. Something that is, we'll call, inevitable, something that you can expect, that Rebbe Meir tells you, you can transact. Avolacha. But in our case of the double payment, number of questions. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed Dalet. Mi Yemar de Mignava. Who says that the item will be stolen? Rashi at the top is very clear. He says, Mi Yemar de Mignava she'asid lihi gonev. Who says that the entrusted item will be stolen? De likni le kefel b'shas mesira. Or through which we would say that the double payment is transacted at the time the item is given by the owner to the bailey. The al korchach mishas mesira boy latnuye. We're compelled to refer to that particular point in time. The shas mesira, the point at which the item is given by the owner to the bailey. Shemoshcha mimenu almanas kain, where the shomer was moshach, drew the item into his possession with that in mind, that he, the shomer, would get the kefel. We need, in the laws of transaction, we need a kinyan, we need an act, a gesture of ownership. So when it comes to portables and certain kinds of animals, Meshicha is the method of acquisition. In our case, the Meshicha takes place initially when the owner gives the item, the entrusted item, to the bailey. Well, at that point, the item is extanted. Who says it's going to be stolen? It's not like Peros Dekel. It's not like fruit that's inevitable, that inevitably will appear. The Intim Silomar de Mignava. And if you say, well, it will be stolen, Miyemar de Mishtakach Ganav, who says that the Ganav will ever be found? Who says the thief will ever be found? He's the one that's going to have to pay the kefel. Who says he'll ever be found? The Mishtakach Ganav, and if you even find the thief, Miyemar de Mishalem, who says he'll ever come to paying the double? Dilma Moidiu Miftar. There's a special provision in Halacha that says that if the thief, before he is brought to court by the owner, admits, he confesses that he stole, then there's no double payment. He pays the principal and that's it. So you see that the realization of kefel is rather far-fetched. How then is it something that can be transacted, that the Mishnah is able to say that the Shomer, if he pays upon the theft, he will gain the rights to the kefel? The markings that we see as we look ahead in the Gemara include Roman numerals 1 and 2, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, they highlight Shnei Lishonis Barava, two versions of Rava. The volcano shape, the trapezoid that you see under version number 1, Chuvos L'Sheila. Now these are answers to the question that we have raised, the issue of Ein Odo Machne Dover Shalom Baldi Olam. With the Gemara, Omar Rava, Nase, the transaction of the kefil is as if Ke'oimer Loi, as if the owner says the following, L'chishe Tignav V'tirtse U'teshalmeni Hare Porosi Kenuya Loch Me'achshav. When the cow that I've entrusted with you will be stolen, and you should so desire to pay me for the cow, then I declare my cow yours from right now. Let's look at Rashi together. Third line from the top. It's as if at the time of the giving and the entrusting of the cow to the shomer, The rabbis know, they understand human nature. The nichalu lebailim shebetuch bekeren, that the owner, as there's a common saying, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. That a person would prefer to have security in knowing that he'll get his principal value. Amanas sheisofe kefil osid lavos shel shomer, and he'll exchange for that. In other words, in exchange for receiving security of getting the principal, he'll transfer to the shomer the rights to the double amount that may come in the future. V'harei he kemosro lo amanas kein, and it's as if the initial transfer of the item, the entrusting of the item, was with this in mind. Sheim tigonev v'yishalim lo keren shetei poruk nu yolo mishal shemosro. That if it should get stolen and the shomer should want to pay the principal, the cow is considered owned by the shomer from the initial point of mesira. Nimsa lemafreya, the result would be retroactively kisheganav aganav, that when the thief steals it, shel shomer hoisa, that it was the shomer's cow. The porukvar hi ba'olam, the cow, that's something that already exists. If you're focusing on, we'll say, the transaction of the cow, then you avoid the problem of transacting something that hasn't come to be. So Rava, in a nutshell, is describing an initial acquisition of the cow on the part of the shomer. The shomer becomes the owner of the cow from the very outset. Well, we have questions on that. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Ihochi, if that be the case, afilu gizeisev lo sel nami, then even the shearings, in the case of a sheep, the offspring born should also belong to the shomer. If you're telling me that he retroactively acquires the cow or the sheep at the point that he pays for it, in other words, when that eventual time arises that he pays for it retroactively, he's the owner of it from the very beginning. So that shouldn't he be entitled to the shearings and the offspring? Aloma Tanya, why then do we have a Tanaic source in which it says chutz migizisel vlodesel, that the shomer gets the kefel, he gets the cow, but not the shearings and the offspring? So if we were to follow Rava's analysis to the final point, then the gizos and the vlodos, the shearings and the offspring, should have been included in the deal. I mean, the shomer should have become the owner of those as well. Any shearings and vlodos that were born in the course of time should be the shomer's. Ela Omar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera explains, how does the kefel get transferred? Nase ka'omer loy, it's as if the owner, when transacting, as we described before, actually added a clause, chutz migizeisev lo desel, that the cow will be yours from right now that I am giving it to you, but not including the shearings and the offspring. My Pascha, how is this so clear cut that we make such a distinction? In other words, the kefel, which is profit that arises through the animal, you do get. But this form of profit, the shearings and the offspring, you do not get. The Gemara answers, Stamo de Milsa, the standard way of people, Shvacha de Asa me Alma, Ovid Inish de Makni. Profit, shvacha, improvement or profit that comes from the outside, Me'alma means from the outside, like the kefel. It's not generated from the body of the animal. It's generated from the fact that it was stolen and the double payment is made by the thief. That's profit from the outside. That is something people will part with, will transact. Shvacha de migufa lo avid inish demakni, but shevach, improvement that comes from the body itself, that a person isn't so quick to sell away, to transact. Ika diamri. Omar Rava, a second version of Rava in explaining how does the kefel get transferred. Nase koimelo, it's as if the owner says, Lichishetignov, the tutse, the tishalmeni, in the event that it gets stolen and you should desire to pay me, then samuch lignevasa kniolach, and a moment before it's being stolen, it is yours. So if a moment before it's stolen, it becomes the shomer's, so then when it is stolen, the shomer is entitled to receive the kefel. Rashi adds, most importantly, that, well, at that time, that means samuch l'gnevasa, a moment before the gneva, the cow will be yours. And, well, at that time, the cow is ba'olam. It's not a transaction of something that is lo ba'li'olam. My binayu. What is the practical difference between these two versions? We had Rava Roman numeral number one, which said that the poras knuyo loch me'afshav, and you have Roman numeral number two that said samuch l'gnevasa knuya loch. Ika binahu, a point of difference will be kushya de Rebbe Zeira, the point that was raised in Rebbe Zeira's question. Rebbe Zeira's question could be raised according to version number one, but Rebbe Zeira's question would not arise with regard to point number two. Why not? Because point number two, when does the shomer become the owner of it? A long time after the gizos and vlados came to be. When the shearings and the offspring were born, it was still the owners, and therefore there's no havamina to suggest that the shomer should be entitled to those as well. Inami, another point of difference, dekaimo ba'agam, that at the time of the theft, the animal was in the fields, in the marshes. It wasn't in the home of the shomer. If that's the case, then according to Lashon number one, the fact that at the time of theft it wasn't in the domain of the shomer is irrelevant, because at the time of the gaining of ownership, which was me'ashav from the initial point of transaction, it was in the domain of the shomer for the shomer to become the owner of it. However, if you follow approach number two, at the time of theft, the animal wasn't in the domain of the shomer. What would enable the shomer to become the owner of it? If something is in your personal closed domain, that entitles you to become the owner of it, if in the case of transactions. You might ask, well, but wasn't there the initial Mesira, the initial Meshicha? So the Rashi points out that that would fall under the category of a Meshicha that is stipulated in time. Namely, do a Meshicha now, and through that become the owner of it in another 30 days. Or let's do the Mashiach now. Let's do that symbolic act of transfer, but its effectiveness is on a delay basis. In cases like that, the Mashiach is ineffective. And therefore, according to version number two, if the ownership is to be established somuch l'gnei basa, but at that point in time, the animal is not in the shomer's domain, it's not in his courtyard, so then he will not become the owner of it. The transfer of the kefel would not be effective. You can see this explanation in the Rashi. Dibor Masil, Inami Dave Kaimo Ba'agam. Let's look at the Rashi together. The Rashi is a little less than halfway down the Rashi commentary. Kishe Gonva Ganov, when the thief stole it. Lishna Basra, according to the second version, the number two, the Roman number two version, Lo Koni Kfela, the Shomer will not gain ownership, gain rights to the Kefel, to the double payment. Da Samuch Lignei Vasa Lo Hoiso B'Chatzero, Shetei Chatzero Koinelo. A moment before the theft, it was not in his courtyard for the courtyard to be able to acquire it on his behalf. The act of drawing the animal wasn't at that time. And therefore, through what mechanism will the shomer be considered the owner of the cow? You might say, well, couldn't the initial act of drawing be effective to fulfill that requirement? The drawing that he did at the initial transfer of the item for watching purposes to enable possession to take place a moment before the theft? Amrinan, but we answer. B'ksubis, we say in Masech Ksubis, B'isha Shenoflu L'Nechosim, that's the name of the Perek, Ha'isha Shenoflu L'Nechosim. Ha'imer L'Chaveru M'shoch Parazu, V'lo Tikni Loch Elo Li'achar Shloishim Lokana. If one says, do the act of drawing of this cow, but you do not become the owner until the passage of 30 days, that was that time delay Mashiach attempt, lo kana, though it doesn't work. It's ineffective. So we've given you two nafkaminas, two points of distinction or halachic ramifications, whether you accept approach number one of Rava or approach number two. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.